I want to read you from 1 Corinthians 2, 4, 13, 14, and 15, because these are the next five references to the subject of the mysteries that we've been studying these Wednesday evenings. A brief review, and then I'll tell you about these. 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God predestinated before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that loved Him, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how rich is the teaching of Thy Word. How inexhaustible are its treasures. We are thankful that it has fed us and sustained us all our life long, and having partaken of it as much as we are able, there still exists so much that we can never exhaust it. We are thankful for this treasure that Thou hast placed into our hands. And now, Father, we are considering these mysteries, and we pray that by Thy Spirit, Thou shalt help us to understand them, because Thou dost say, I would not, brethren, have you ignorant. And so let us not be ignorant, brethren, but informed, brethren, because Thy Word hath made known unto us these things that hitherto were secret. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and feed Thy lambs and Thy sheep. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Concerning these mysteries, you should have known by now that any time the word mystery is mentioned in the Bible, it is something that is a mystery before God explains it, but every mystery in the Bible has been explained by God. And so while we read of the mysteries, it means they are things, enigmas, that are inexplicable. They cannot be determined as to their meaning unless God reveals them, but every mystery He tells us about is something that He has revealed. And so if you read about a mystery and you say, well, it is a mystery because I do not understand it, then we're at fault. Because God does not mention a mystery that has not been revealed. And if you remember, in Romans, We have two references in chapter 11:25 and 16:25. It speaks of the mysteries there. Now listen to it, and you'll see. It said, "Now unto him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which hath been kept in silence for times eternal." Notice, the revelation of the mystery. In like manner, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus says, "The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." They are mysteries. They are unfathomable, unknowable, unless God reveals them. But the Lord says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries." Therefore, it is something that is unknowable by natural man. But God in his grace has revealed all of these mysteries to us. He tells us that the first time he mentions the mystery in the Gospels. He tells us the second time when he mentions it in the book of Romans. Yes, these mysteries have been kept in silence from eternity. It said, but it's the revelation of the mystery. And in like manner, in the portion that I read to you tonight in 1 Corinthians 2, I've heard so many times and so many people think that what he is talking about here is something we have to look forward to in the future. It says, "Oh, when we get to heaven, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. And when we get to heaven, we will know about those things." But the next verse says, "But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit." And so there is no mystery in the Bible that God mentions that is not revealed. When you look at it, you'll say, here is the mystery. The revelation of it is nearby, in the same chapter, in the same book, or somewhere in the New Testament. The revelation of it is nearby. And it is a mystery because at times it is difficult to understand. But remember that somewhere God has revealed it, the revelation of the mystery. But it was unrevealed from the beginning of time until the Lord Jesus came upon the scene. But when he came upon the scene, he is the great parable speaker, and he is the one who took these enigmas and made them understandable. And for us as Christians, unto you it is given to know. And so if you say, well, I'm a Christian, and I do not understand these mysteries, well, it is because you have not searched the Scriptures to understand them, because the Lord has given the revelation of them. If they're revealed, then we understand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. Here is Christ revealed, not concealed, but revealed. And for that reason, you'll find that no less than five times it speaks of these mysteries that are hidden, that are concealed, that are kept secret, that are kept in silence. But having said that, it says, now they are revealed. So any time you read the word mystery in the New Testament, it is something that man is unable to comprehend, but it is something that God has revealed unto him, and it is no longer unknowable unless we are in a certain category as Christians. Look in chapter 2 again. I want you to see this, because you're liable to think that since you are a Christian, it's given to you to know them, and you can just understand these mysteries. Not only can you not understand them, but if Paul were speaking instead of myself, he might not be speaking to you about the mysteries. It says in verse 5, that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are perfect, full grown. And what is this wisdom? God's wisdom in a mystery. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat." Do you understand? It says this, in verse 4, when one saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, are ye not men? And so forth and so on. Here is Paul saying that he has not explained the mysteries that God has revealed. Do you understand that? You say, that's remarkable. Then he mentions it, yes, but he does not explain it. That's right. Why? Because it says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that are full grown, and in verse 1 of chapter 3 said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. And so, in this first epistle to the Corinthians, we have some mysteries named, but not explained, not because Paul did not have the capacity, and this is what is so shattering, that he could have explained them. The same way the author of Hebrews had many things hard of interpretation. He said, I could tell them to you, but you are not able to receive them. And so much in the Bible has been withheld because of the spiritual condition of those to whom the apostle writes. And I think of this. If they had only had the capacity to receive the explanation of these mysteries, for Paul to feel free to expound these mysteries, but they were babes, they were carnal, they were not among the spiritual. And because of that, Paul just introduces this mystery, tells us that he has this mystery, but he does not go into detail about it. We have to wait years and years before he explains it. And he doesn't explain it to the Corinthians, he explains it to other Christians in a church that is more receptive. And so here you are. You are saved. I am saved. I may understand more mysteries than you. Why? Because perhaps God has humbled me and put me in a certain condition, has given me a growth and a maturity, and God is able to explain these mysteries to me. And he will do the same for you. But it takes maturity, and it takes spirituality. It takes those that are spiritual, and then God will reveal these things. That's why the Bible speaks about grieve not the Spirit and quench not the Spirit, because he wants to teach as Paul wants to teach, but he's not able. Not because Paul doesn't have the capacity or the ability, but because the Corinthians are not capable of receiving it. So remember that. That much could have been told the Corinthians, but Paul did not, because of their faulty spiritual condition. All right. Having said that, we must understand, look at verse 6 in chapter 2 now, and I want to read it so that you can understand it better. We speak wisdom to them that are perfect. God's wisdom in a mystery. Did you hear that? We speak wisdom to them that are perfect. God's wisdom in a mystery. And so he's telling us that even though when he came to Corinth, he only preached a limited message. That's what we have to understand. And I want to warn all of you who say, I love the gospel. Some people come and they go into the deep things, but I love the gospel. Do you know what you're doing? You're condemning yourself. Listen to what Paul said. He said in verse 1, I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Why? He said, because you are carnal, because you are not spiritual, you are like babes in Christ. And because of that, he preached to them Christ and him crucified. You say, well then, if I love to hear the gospel, I just like to hear the gospel, Christ and him crucified, then that doesn't mean I'm spiritual. No. It means that you're immature. You need to become a full-grown Christian. You need to be one of these perfect Christians. And if you do, then when someone gives you the meat and explains the mysteries, you'll say, thank God. We never want to in any way take away from the gospel, but please understand that Paul said, the only ones to whom I preach the gospel, and some say, I'm spiritual. I've determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, then you're saying to those to whom you're preaching, they are carnal, they are babes in Christ, they have not the capacity to receive deeper truths. And so do not think that the preacher who comes and says, I'm faithful. I'm the kind of servant God wants me to be. I only preach Christ and Him crucified. Then you are saying that you understand your congregation and they are inferior, they are immature, and if they were mature, you would tell them something else. Because Paul says, we speak wisdom to the perfect, God's wisdom in a mystery. And why did he not preach it? Because of the spiritual condition of those at Corinth. Paul, at a time, would not take money from the Corinthians. Why? Because they were carnal, and he refused to do it. He said, I refuse to take wages of you. I robbed other churches taking wages of them that I should not be accountable unto you. And so when you see him not taking from the Corinthians, it's not ideal. It is a criticism of the Corinthians. And when you say, Paul, when he went to Corinth, preached Christ and him crucified only, that's all that he knew. It's not a compliment. It's a criticism of the Corinthians. And so if you do not like anything but the gospel, it means that you are a babe in Christ. You have not matured, because if you had matured, you would say, go on from the gospel. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You've laid that foundation. Now, give me that wisdom. And if you say, give me that wisdom, then you are saying, I am among the full-grown, the perfect, the mature Christians. And Paul says, I have that wisdom for you. And so what we fail to learn in Corinth is because of the condition of the Corinthians. I wanted you to see that. But now, understand that once again, when he is speaking of this particular mystery, you ask me, what is this mystery? If God had only made it as simple as Romans chapter 11, listen to this. In Romans 11:25 it says, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant concerning this mystery, that hardening hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's elementary. What is this mystery? The hardening of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Why, of course. Now, I want someone to tell me, what is this mystery that Paul is talking about in chapter 2? Do you know? Listen. He said, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Here is one of the mysteries. What is it? Even that wisdom that was hidden, which God, I said, predestinated, so that you would recognize that word. It's the same word, predestination, as in Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. It occurs those two places. Which God predestinated or foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world knew. You say, well, what is that particular mystery? I'm not going to tell you now. But I want you to understand that some of the mysteries are elementary. Why? Because in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 it says, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. I could tell you that mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I know what that mystery is. But I confess that at times, as in Romans 16, you do not know precisely which of the various mysteries he is talking about. When it says, according to the revelation of the mystery which hath been kept secret. Now, what mystery is that? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, that's good. So look at them all and see what conclusion you can come to. But I will give you this hint as to how to go about it. You look at certain words when God does not say the mystery concerning Israel. If you miss that one, then there's no hope for you. If you do not understand that hardening in part hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that is the mystery concerning Israel. If you can't understand that one, then there's no need to try to understand this one. But, you say, God does not always give us an explanation on the surface. No. But he tells us these two things. The word praarizo, predestination, only occurs 6 times in the New Testament. And this is the fourth of its occurrences. It'll occur 2 more times in Ephesians. But what will help us is this. Notice, it says that this mystery, this wisdom that he speaks hath been hidden, which God predestinated before the worlds unto our glory. And so this mystery has something to do with us as Christians and our glory. It has also something to do with those things which God has predestinated. And what you do when he does not immediately on the surface tell you what it is, you start looking at the other suggestions that he gives you. It says that the Lord foreknew, whom he foreknew, then he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. I see. What is more glorious than being conformed to the image of Christ? You say, nothing. Of course not. And the next verse it says, and whom he foreknew, then he also, or whom he predestinated, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. And so the glorification is being perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now listen to John 17. He said, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them. And so when it says he is speaking of this wisdom, this mystery, this wisdom, which is God's wisdom in a mystery, he is speaking about the saints of God and the full realization of the salvation that was given them in Christ. Because being saved is just the beginning. The consummation of it all is being glorified, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, the glory you've given me, I have given unto them. And twice he tells us that this predestination is to be glory, and that glory is to be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has been glorified. He says, Father, I've given them the glory which you have given me. And therefore, this mystery is not that I am saved by grace through faith. That's the beginning. But it is the ultimate outcome of my being saved by grace through faith. And that is eternal conformity to the image of Jesus Christ in heaven in glory like his glory. And so now do you see? But you have to go through it, and you have to discover it that way. And so it's not a mystery like the beginning of Christ and his ministry on earth. Listen to this. The mystery that we read about in Matthew 13, one of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And if it fell into good ground, these are such as hear the word and believe and bring forth fruit. Now that mystery is the very beginning of salvation. But this mystery is the consummation of salvation. What is going to happen to those that bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold? The Lord Jesus tells us that the ultimate destiny of those who are saved, who believe the word sown in the good ground, they are going to be glorified with him in heaven. Do you see? And so the mystery has to do both times with those that are saved. But in Matthew 13, the first mystery of the kingdom is Christ preaching the word and the particulars about salvation. But this mystery, and it is a God's wisdom mystery, this mystery is the consummation of our salvation. And so you put them together. You say, I see then. And so, unto him that is able to save you and establish you according to my gospel. Yes. And there is the beginning of the gospel, there is the content of the gospel, and there is the consummation of the gospel. But that's all that I can tell you about it now. I want to at least cover the mysteries that are here. But do you see how you go about finding out what the mystery is? Now put these two things together. There are some mysteries that have to do with Satan. There are some mysteries that have to do with evil. When a woman takes leaven and hides it in 3 measures of meal, that is a mystery having to do with evil. The mystery of iniquity, that is a mystery having to do with evil. Do you understand? But when it has people being saved, that is a mystery having to do with the people of God. When it's a mystery having to do with the children of God being glorified, that is a mystery that has to do with the children of God. Now, one other hint. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the mystery concerning the person of Christ. Now, I've told you that you gather the material, and then you look at it, and you define it. You say, yes, I see. Here is a mystery revolving around salvation. those that believe and get saved. Here is a mystery revolving around evil. Here is a mystery revolving around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for that reason, when we have a mystery concerning Christians, if you have Christians mentioned time and time again, he may say 2, 4, more different things about them. But they're all under the category of the mystery concerning Christians. And then, about evil, here is a woman hiding leaven in 3 measures of meal. That is under the category of evil. Here is the mystery of iniquity. That's under the category of evil, do you see? And so while we have many mysteries, you look at them and they're reduced to just a few mysteries when you put them in their proper place in the category. All right, this now. Look at verse 9. But, as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. Do you see? Here is the wisdom, and it's been hidden. But it says in verse 10, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. I've been telling you week after week that when it says that these mysteries have been kept in secret, have been kept in silence, have been hidden, it does not mean that there is no mention of them. You say, why? Just like I told you last week, when he mentions the mystery, he points to an Old Testament scripture telling you about the mystery. Let me remind you again. When it speaks about the mysteries of the kingdom, he quotes from the Psalms and says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. And then he quotes it in Matthew 13. The Lord had already told us about the mystery, but he didn't explain it. He didn't give the details. And in like manner, this glory that we're going to have, he tells us, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. And what are some of these things? Glorification. And he says, this is found in Isaiah 64, verse 4. And so do not tell me that this secret, this being hidden, means that God never said anything about it in the Old Testament. Of course he did. It's there. But it is there in mystery form. It is there in an enigma. It is there, and you could not know what it meant unless God expounded it in the New Testament. But now he has expounded it in the New Testament. But hidden and secret does not mean that God never said anything about it. He did. And I've given you time and time again the mystery, and then Paul referring to something in the Old Testament pointing to that very mystery of which he spoke. So keep that in mind. All right. Having told you that, I can't dwell on this anymore. I've given you enough explanation. Turn over to chapter 4 for the second reference. I better tell you now, in 2:7, 4:1, 13:2, 14:2, and 15:51, those are the 5 references to mysteries in Corinthians, but I can't get to them all tonight, but I want you to see now in verse 1. 4:1, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I was pointing out to our brother St. John this afternoon that what we had in Corinthians 4 is what we had, and I'll read it to you for the sake of time, in the very first references to the mysteries in Matthew chapter 13. The Savior says, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea. And he said unto them, therefore, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to the kingdom of the heavens is like unto a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Notice, he tells them what the mysteries are. He says, have you understood? Yes. Notice the 2 steps. They do not know what the mysteries are. Christ tells them the mysteries. Christ explains the mysteries. And he says, do you understand? And they say, yes. He said, if so, then you are like unto a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And so now the disciples have become stewards or householders. Notice in chapter 4 now of 1 Corinthians, it says, We are stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what they were in Matthew 13. The Lord Jesus gave them mystery after mystery after mystery, and they took them into their stores. And now, he says, you bring out of your treasure things new and old. And that's what I've been doing. I've been telling you things old, and I've been telling you things new. Not everything new, because of old, God had anticipated this mystery and placed it in obscurity in the Old Testament. And so you can bring out things old, but then explain things about the old, and you've brought out things new. And that is what Christ is talking about. Now, in like manner, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, instead of a householder, the man is a steward, and it says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And it's just like somebody that wants to build a particular kind of house, and he goes to this factory, and he says, I want this kind of lumber, I want this kind of a base, I want this kind of a plumbing, I want all of these things. And the man says, I'm sorry, I don't have this item, and I don't have that item or that item. Well, he's one who is short on his supplies. And so in like manner, if somebody comes here and you say to them, I want you to explain to me about the five mysteries in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, 13, 14, and 15. And they say, well, I'm sorry, I'm out of those mysteries right now. Well, their stewards and their stores are ever so small. But Paul says, you look upon me as a steward of the mysteries of God. And the reason that they did not get those mysteries in Corinth is because of their condition, not because of Paul's lack of possession. And that is what we who minister the word should do. We should seek to have on our shelves stores of truths and know all of these mysteries of God, so that if Christians were worthy or if they have questions, we can answer those questions. Why? Because I am a steward of the mysteries of God, and it is required of me that I be found faithful. And the only reason I should not give you a mystery about this or that is because you are carnal. And I shall never try to escape and say, I can tell you that, but you are carnal. I shall never deceive you that way. I shall say, if you are prepared and you can understand it, sit down. And so here is our responsibility. Christ tells the mysteries in Matthew 13. They hear them. They are taught them. They understand them. They have a responsibility, as a householder does. And in like manner, Paul says, by revelation was made unto me, and now I am a steward of the mysteries, and now I am revealing them unto you. And now the time is gone, so we must stop. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the truths that are still contained in thy word, of which we know nothing. Those in the Old Testament could say, we do not know, because they are kept in secret, they have not been revealed. We have no excuse, our Father. Unto us, God, reveal them. Forgive us, Lord, for some of the things that we shall not see until we get to heaven. Let us understand that all the mysteries are revealed, and we can enjoy them now and anticipate knowing them in their fullness when we get to heaven. Now we see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I was fully known. And so let us enjoy these truths, these mysteries, and help all of us that preach the word be stewards that have large stores, and let us be faithful as stewards. It is required of stewards that we be found faithful. Bless us to this end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.